reading to you from 1 John, the 4th chapter, and with the 7th verse. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach. Oh, friends, we have been having tornadoes here in Colorado like you won't believe. I mean, I don't know, 20, 30 good ones. Well, and now we're having rain. It's been the most unusual year for weather. We've had 3 or 4 foot of snow. And I mean right here where I live. Well, that's the way God planned it. And don't get mad at him, because he knows what he's doing. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Won't you just kick off your slippers? Sit back and relax and pour you a glass of iced tea or maybe a lemonade or maybe a cup of coffee. Could have a glass of milk would be good. And let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 2 Peter, 1st chapter, and let's begin reading with the 4th verse. That's 2 Peter, 1st chapter, 4th verse. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've labeled this today, beating barrenness. Well, friends, listen, let's face it. The Christian life has a great beginning. I know so many people today that I've got a real close family member, that every time you mention Jesus, they get absolutely furious. They don't want to hear nothing about the Lord. And they used to come to hear me preach when I pastored in Oregon. But all of a sudden, something is turned off, and they have never trusted yet. Faith in Christ makes us partakers of the divine nature. Now listen, the Holy Spirit enters our lives at the new birth, and I read in John 3:5-8, Jesus answered, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh, that is the flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Oh, friends, listen to me. Nicodemus was a very intelligent man. He certainly was. And the one thing about Nicodemus, he was no drunkard. He was not an immoral man. In fact, the matters, he was a member of the Sanhedrin, which was one of the top courts of the land, but somehow He felt in his heart that what he had in his religious experience was not enough to get him into heaven. So he'd been hearing testimonies of the Jews had been converted, and it was bothering him because he knew he didn't have what they had. So he said, I'm going to go check this out myself. So he went over and to see the Lord, and so he started asking Lord some questions, and the Lord looked right into the heart of Nicodemus, and he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I use that a lot because it's so important. If you look at my old Bible, you look in there and see where that old Bible's almost worn out, that page, is because that's what God used on me the morning I trusted the Lord. That's right. I absolutely did not believe that God could love a wretched sinner like me. But boy, what that pastor said, I shall never forget. And I use it a lot. He said, Cecil, God does not love your sins, but he loves you, a sinner. Wow. That just took off the scales off my eyes. And when he quoted John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he changed it for God so loved Cecil Moe, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ah, my friends, that morning, 55 years ago, at about 4 o'clock in the morning, I was on my knees crying out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Did I know that God was going to deliver me from alcoholism? No, I did not. The preacher said he would, but I didn't know for sure if that was true. But I got news for you. He certainly does. Even so, some believers live barren lives, not fulfilling their potential. And the 8th verse, it says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, listen. If you have those beliefs, you will not be barren. Ah, you know, there's nothing any worse than to go into a church service and ask for testimony, which you don't hear anymore. No. Our churches don't testify. I tell you, that's where you get it. When people get up and say, this is what Jesus did for me, that comes from their heart. I've always, always testified. All you got to do is read the life of Paul. And man, wherever he went, if what he was in Skid Row, what he was in the temple, what he was before great kings and queens, he said, one day, on that road. We don't hear that in churches. Consequently, people are not being saved in our churches today. I'm sorry, but they're not. Actually, they tell me, I don't know about this, but I believe it, but more people are saved outside of the church than they are in the church. The tragic thing is, if they're saved outside of the church, if we don't do a follow-up on them, they're going to die on the vine. Friends, listen. The first thing you want to do is get people in the Word. Get them reading. Ha! Friends, the morning I was saved, I went and bought me a little cheap Bible, and I came home and I sat down. I don't know where I was reading. Maybe Genesis, maybe Revelation. But wherever I read in that Bible, it kept telling me, God loves you, Cecil. God loves you. Oh, friends, did you know that God loves you so much? Sure he did. That he sent his son to the cross that you could have eternal life. Well, tools for a triumph living comes from God. Let's read 5 and 8. Now for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you need. That's the tools. We can win over sin and enjoy the abundant life. See, God's tools for triumph make personal victory possible. And faith starts an ever-widening flow of power. Well, listen. Virtue and knowledge flow from faith. Now, for this reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. Well, faith links us to Christ. There is no other way of salvation. You know what it says in Romans 5:1? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen to me. This then makes a new life possible. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Not supposing that you've been unfaithful to your wife or your husband, and that's a bad deal. But supposing you had been, and you're guilty. You feel so bad, you just don't know what to do. Well, God can't forgive that. Oh, yes, He can. There's not a sin in the world He can't forgive. But you got to confess it. You got to repent, means turn your back on the old way of life and invite Him into your heart, and He will make of you a new creature. What do you think it was that caused me to quit drinking? The Holy Spirit of God. When He came into my heart, He delivered me just like a delivering a bunch of coal. He delivered me, took it away from me. Well, from this faith flows a very virtue of Christ. We find ourselves asking, what would Jesus do? Listen, the normal Christian longs to be like Jesus. From this virtue flows a desire to know more about Him. That's what Paul said. Paul couldn't get enough of Jesus. That was his life. And it showed. He bore fruit. My star, did he bore fruit. Friends, I've said this a million times. I'm going to try it one more time on you. If you're a born-again believer, and you've never tried to reach a soul for Christ, or you've never tried to witness, or you don't care where a man spends eternity, you better check up. Because I doubt if you know Jesus. The desire of a Christian's heart is another Christian. That's right. I know it sounds tough, but it's the truth. We find ourselves eager to search the Scriptures. And what does it say in 2 Timothy 2:15? Forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, and the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now listen to me. If we search the Scripture, we'll find these things. But you can't find... You know, the Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Now, knowledge of the Scriptures will keep us from sin. And I read in Psalms 119, 9-11, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to the Word. With all my heart I have sought Thee. Do not let me wander from Thy commandment. Thy Word have I treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against Thee. Well, it's very important. I'm telling you, dear friends, and I lived in that Bible day and night. I didn't get to go to seminary. I went to Bible college. I didn't get to go to seminary. I'm still preaching. No, oh, I'm not a great preacher, and I don't know too much. But boy, I know the most important thing in the world. I know Jesus. That's what I want to tell you about. I want you to know Jesus. Self-control and patience flow from knowledge. Verse 6, we'll do it again. And in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness. The more you know about Him, the better you are. I remember as a baby Christian, I think it was in Psalms or Proverbs where it said, where much knowledge is given, it says that much sorrow is given. I said, hey, I'm not going to read the Bible no more. I've had so much sorrow in my young life. Wow. Oh, a stupid thing. I learned better than that. The more we know about Jesus, the more we become like Him. Now, Jesus personified self-control. His enemies tried to find fault in Him, but were unsuccessful. Remember when they said, He's out there picking corn on the Sabbath. Look out there, he healed on the Sabbath. Satan tried to get him to yield to temptation, but could not do so. Tried to get him to go out there and fall down and jump off a temple and worship. No, he didn't do it. How'd Jesus answer him? By the word of God. Friends, listen. If I'm talking to you tonight, and I might say something that you don't agree with, well, check the scriptures I give you and see if they're not right. Because, oh, listen, I'm not perfect, and I sure do make mistakes. I absolutely do. But I tell you right now, God will help us tell the truth. The closer we walk with Jesus, the more we experience self-control. Now, listen. The knowledge of Christ and His Word make us patient people. I was just a young man, and I got to go to a meeting of in our church. It was a big church. All a bunch of churches met together. And this multi-millionaire was a speaker. And he got up there, and what he sold is these big fancy yachts and boats out of Florida. And he said, you know, I've traveled all over the world selling my boats and yachts. And he said, you know, one day I was talking to the Lord in prayer, and I said, Lord, you know what? I don't have time to read your Bible. In fact, it's hard for me to get time to prayer. Lord, give me some patience. Well, he said, I spent 1 year in the hospital. He said, I never prayed for patience again. Yeah, I never forgot that. Never pray for patience again. Well, the knowledge of Christ's word makes us patient people. We're not shaken by life storm because, well, I remember when I had my first heart attack. Then I remember when I had my cancer operation. Man, now I'm on oxygen. Oh, man, woe is me. Woe is me. But, dear friends, listen. God knows His business. Oh, yes, He does. Use that. Did you know I was in the hospital with my cancer operation for 5 days? There wasn't a nurse in that place or one to take blood from your arm that didn't know that I knew Jesus and I wanted him to know him too. I'll tell you a story that'll just thrill your heart. Years ago, the man that introduced me to Christ was living now in Virginia. And so he called me one time. He said, Cecil, we're having a world mission conference. He said, I'm too sick to go and speak. Well, would you go take my place? I said, sure, Brother Tom, I'll be glad. I don't know how many world mission conferences I spoke at for him because he couldn't go. He said, I said, what's going on, Brother Tom? He said, well, I'm getting my large toe removed. He had diabetes like me. He said, I'm getting my large toe removed. And so I flew into Virginia. I went to his home and Ann said, well, Tom's in the hospital. She said they removed his leg just below his knee. I said, he told me they were going to cut off his toes. She said, well, they didn't tell him the truth. Now get this. I said, I'm going to go see him before I take off and go to this mission conference. I walked into the hospital, and I got on the third floor, and I saw a pastor friend of mine, Brother Suggs, coming up that way, and I heard this voice. You mean to tell me you're a professor in college and you don't know Jesus? And Suggs said, that's Brother Tom. I said, that's right. Here he was, his little old leg popped up there on a pillow, and he was the night before, and now he's telling people about Jesus. That man lived his life that way till he died. Oh, beloved, listen, if we could just be that way. God wants to use us little. Little things don't get us down because we know Christ is in control. Godliness, kindness, and love flow from patience. Now listen, patience or perseverance is difficult. Makes us godly people. Oh yeah. Consider the difficulties Jesus endured on his way to the cross. Remember his patience when he stood before Herod and Pilate. Remember the kindness of Christ makes us kind toward other Christians. Listen, see how kind the early Christians were after Pentecost, and I read in Acts 2:5. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And you know what they did? when they people, the Jews, got saved, they got kicked out of their homes, and the born-again Jews would sell their farms and give to those dear people. Oh, friends, we owe kindness to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, people should know we are Christians by our love. I read in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, godliness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Listen, the committed Christian is delivered from barren living. Verse 8, for if these qualities are yours, and you are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever witnessed for Jesus? Have you ever invited a soul to put his trust in Christ? If not, I'm going to say shame, 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 shame. I don't know how you can live with yourself. I don't know how you can look in the mirror and say, well, I'm living for Jesus. I know you go to church. I know that you read your Bible. I know that you pray. And I know you give your dollar every Sunday morning for the offering. But that don't make you a born-again believer. I'll guarantee you, you have to have a change in your heart. Transfer that head belief to your heart, which is about 12 to 14 inches. Oh, listen, you don't want to live a barren life. I'm not a great soul winner. Oh, I'm not. But oh, I try to witness. I've led people to soul in restaurants. I mean waiters and waitresses. I've led people to Christ on airplanes. And you know what? I'm just a simple old sinner saved by grace. I'm not a special person. But I sold out that morning. And then one time I read a book about Praying Hyde, one of the greatest spiritual missionaries I guess we ever had over in the Orient. That man led thousands of people to Christ. See, fruit flows from the life that is surrendered to Christ. And I ask that question, how fruitful are you today? You say, well, Cecil, I'm kind of ashamed of myself. Well, we can change all that tonight. If you're a Christian and you haven't done witnessing or stuff like that, I want you to bow your head to me right now as we have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for that brother, that sister in Christ that's never tried to introduce a soul to Christ, never witnessed. And, oh, God, I don't know where they stand, but I know they're not happy. Now, there are those who steal from God. They don't believe that giving is right, but you gave your life. And he only asked for 10%. No, God, there are so many Christians who are stealing from the Lord, and you can't even trust them with a nickel anymore. So tonight, Lord, I pray that that one that hasn't been witnessing will surrender their lives completely and ask you to help them. Now tonight, you might be lost as a goose in the grass, and you know you're not going to heaven if you die, but you want to go. And you feel a little old tugging at your heart, I want you to do me a favor. Would you bow your head to me? Don't you dare pray this sinner's prayer unless you mean it. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I know that I've lived a rotten, filthy life. I've been unfaithful to my wife, and I've stole from the church, and I've done this and that. Lord, right now, I want you to come in and be my Savior, personal Savior. Help me to grow. Help me not to be barren. Help me not to be like most Christians, lazy, fat, and don't care. Oh, God, bless me tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You prayed that prayer. Call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. And I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534.
Let your love flow through me. So many folks are lonely. Oh, Lord, they need someone to care. I can't help making this my prayer. Let your love flow through me, let your love flow through me, make me a blessing, Lord, wherever I may be. Keep me pure, keep me clean, so that you might be seen. Let your love flow through me. Lord, when I need a lost one, give me all
friends. For the past half an hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moon. I thank you so much for listening to me. Oh, pray for me and my wife, and pray for us as we go to prisons. Oh, we deal with some of the heartbroken people, people who have deep crime, they've done terrible things, and they think that's the end of the road, but it isn't. It's the beginning if they will come to Jesus, and we've led thousands over the years to Christ in prison. And you know what? It makes this a little better place to live. Well, listen, you keep us in your prayers. We love you people for listening. And I want you to stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.